Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Friday, March 10th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we'll be reading from the Big Book, of course. We're on page 66, the fourth paragraph. It's the last paragraph on that page, starting with this was our course. Ending with thy will be done on the top of page 67. The readers today are the 12 steps, Karen W., the 12 traditions, Davalyn E., the readers of the text are Veronica C., Jordan L., and Elaine B. Share ID for Thursday, March 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,038. That's 20038. And for Friday, March 3rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, I forgot to write it down here. Let me get to my thing. It's 20,040. That's 20040. Our newcomer greeter is Reggie O, and our announcements person is Robin P., ROA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Karen W., for reading the 12 steps. I now ask Davalyn E. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Davalyn E., and I am a compulsive overeater living gratefully and joyfully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other media of communication, public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities pass.
And thank you very much, Davalin Eve in Canada. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 66, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page. This was our course, and reading through on top of page 67, thy will be done. Wait a minute. Okay, I will now ask Veronica C. to get us started. Good morning, Veronica. Press star 1, Veronica, to unmute.
Hi, Mo. Good morning, and thank you for your service today and for all those participating on this line as well today. This is Veronica C. from New York. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done. You know, when I think about this paragraph, one of the first things that stands out to me is, you know, me saying, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? Well, before programming, before I had my own spiritual awakening, I would think that someone who is not spiritually fit, meaning like me, because I considered myself spiritually fit even before I came into program, as a sick human being, and there was no help for him. So it would not be something that I would really want to pursue, because what would be the point in my mind? there is no such thing as somebody automatically all of a sudden being able to grasp a spiritual way of living or a spiritual way of life, which I thought I was doing. But I quickly found out as I grew in program what this was all about, and that I also was spiritually sick. So with that, I have to say that that's when the work really began for me, working the steps, doing everything that I had to do, including adjusting some issues that I had with resentments. Because as we know, resentments are a big, big part of being able to go back into our disease. And that's something that I choose not to do today. And thank you for your service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Veronica, for getting us started. And I will remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, we ask you to wait until Monday. And I will now open the floor and anyone who'd like to share.
Bonnie B.
W. Minnesota. I got Bonnie B.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Amelia P.
Amelia
Linnea B.
Linnea B. Who else? I'll take a couple more.
Rella R.
Rella R. Okay, I think we'll stop there. Bonnie B., Laura W., Amelia, I think it was P., Linnea B., and Rella R. And please announce where you're calling from. Good morning, Bonnie B., you're up first, followed by Laura W.
Good morning, Mo. I just started my timer. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Grateful to be here, gratefully recovered by the grace of God. Another amazing paragraph. So this was our course. You know, in my book, I put, this tells me exactly what I need to do. But when I underlined that sentence, for me, instantly, it went from, this is what they did, to this is my course. And the word are for me became me and God. Because if I don't connect God to this course, I don't have a chance. So this is our course, as in God and me. Okay, this is what I have to do when I step into the step 3 and 4. I have to be willing to step 4 and 5. I have to be willing to look at what's going on. I could identify within 15 seconds the symptoms and why they disturbed me. That was column 2 and 3. I knew what the resentments were, but I had to get out of those very quickly. And I had to ask myself, okay, what can I do? Number one, I'm a spiritually sick person. That's part of my sick man prayer. I say, I'm a spiritually sick person, dear God. Please help me show me how I can be helpful to this other person. And the way that I can be helpful to anyone else is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and other people. And the way I do that is by identifying what my part is in every resentment. Because when I let God do that in me, all of a sudden I go from what they did to me to putting on a completely different set of glasses. For the first time in my life, I got to look through a different set of lens. I got to see people as God saw them, right? I mean, people show up as best they can, and forever I just want them to show up. But they are showing up. It just wasn't the way I wanted. So I get to trust God in this process, and I get to be incredibly mindful of, day by day. When I do a 10 step, that's God's loving touch to me. He's refining. He's showing me that I need to draw closer to him and take my eyes off of other people. Because the only reason why I live in column 1, 2, and 3 is because I have my eyes fixed on a target that's eye level. That's the problem. If my eyes were fixed on God, I wouldn't be wrestling with what people do or how they show up. It wouldn't bother me like it does. And so this is beautiful. The focus goes from all about me to all about God. Help me to see you in this situation so I can be healthy and cut people free. And that's where my freedom comes. And when the freedom in my mind is there, everything else follows, and I get to live in that happy, joyous, and free. So thanks again for everything, Mo. Thanks for everyone who's going to share today, and have a blessed day, you guys. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Laura W., you're up next, followed by
thanks.
Amelia P. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Mo. I hope I can be heard. I've been having trouble with my Wi-Fi this morning. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered...
Clear.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And this is such great stuff here. You know, this whole program is spiritual. There's no spiritual part to it. And I've heard so many people say, you know, I can't get the spiritual angle of this. And it's not a spiritual angle. The whole program is spiritual. And the process of spirituality, I've been told that spirituality is the art of remaining undisturbed. When I'm in resentment, I am disturbed, which means I'm disconnected, I'm angry, I'm in myself. You know, it says we must. It's not like we try to or we'd like to, we must. You know, we must get to that fourth column in this step, because the first three columns just keeps me stuck in the resentment. So if I just take a look at my resentment, what's the cause, and you know, who caused it and what it affects, I'm going to stay stuck in this resentment. And it's so difficult, especially if somebody really, really harmed me, you know, really did wrong. It's hard for me to show them patience and tolerance and pity that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. But when I say this prayer, this is a sick person. How can I be helpful to them? God, please save me from being angry. Thy will be done. It's not saying it's okay what you did to me. It's saying I'm not going to sit in this and let you take me away from God. I'm not going to let you pull me away from my connection to my higher power by keeping me in the resentment. You know, God, this is about me. This is not about the other person. Just like forgiveness is not about saying, it's okay. It's just saying, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to stay stuck in this muck. Somebody that I love always shares, like, resentment, it's like an anger. It's like stepping in dog dew and walking around with dog dew on my bottom of my sneaker all day. You know, I have to let go of it, and I've got to change, not just wash it off, I've got to change the shoes, you know. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful not to be in resentment today. You know, that can change in an hour, but I've got God to lean on and fall back on. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. from New Jersey. Amelia, I think it's P. I'm not sure. Just give us the state you're calling from.
Yes, this is Amelia P. From California. And I think about this paragraph. It's like all highlighted, underlined, circled in my book. And there are so many days where I'm saying this prayer, where just a little thing has happened, but so many of us are spiritually sick, and I mean, I certainly was, and I'm so grateful for this, because I don't have to let other people's actions disturb my connection with God, with my sanity, and I can just think of them lovingly with this prayer, and that's so healing, and I'm so grateful for that, because I just get to stay connected to God, and that means a lot to me, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you, everyone, for your service.
Well, thank you, Amelia P. from California. Next up, we have Linnea B., followed by Rella R., and after Rella, I'll open the line up for more shares. Good morning, Linnea.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, everybody. My name is Linnea B., recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Wow, you know, it starts off with, this was our course. It tells me what I can do. You know, I'm so grateful for that. It tells me what I can do. Because resentment is the number one offender. And, you know, it absolutely blocks me off from the sunlight of the spirit or from my higher power. It's just, has been proven many, many, many times. I can't be in touch with my higher power, which, of course, is my hope. My higher power is my hope, you know, and without that, I'm screwed. So anyway, so this was our course. It's just amazing, you know, and then it tells me that, hey, these people that I am mad at, they're like me, very probably. You know, that we're human beings and, you know, now I'm paraphrasing, but this is how I read it. You know, that we are all human beings in this world. I'm not better than someone else, and that I am very, you know, I'm in this program. I'm spiritually sick, you know, so can't cost, you know, call a real toss pot. Oh, no, never mind. I'm going to say that wrong. In other words, you know, it evens the playing field. Even the people that I'm really mad at, even the people who have really hurt me, and it's telling me that I can take a different kind of attitude toward them. And I needed this direction very much so. I needed a new way of thinking, a new way of relating to people. I couldn't keep going the old way, or I was just gonna, you know, eat myself to death, which I was on the way to doing. You know, and I can't tell you how many times I've said to myself, actually, in the moment, God, save me from being angry. You know, asking for that prayer and asking, you know, God to give me the grace, you know, to have patience, pity, and tolerance that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. And just thinking about doing that, you know, who is my friend? And wouldn't I have, you know, pity, patience, and tolerance for them? And just that kind of thinking helps, you know, free up that log jam of real mad. And so this was our course. This paragraph and the next one have saved me so many times. I review them or return to them often. I'm very grateful for them very much. Thank you all, Beth.
And thank you, Linnea B. from Minnesota. And before I take Rella R., I want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 66, the bottom of the page, fourth paragraph down. This was our course, reading over on page 67. And finishing up with Thy Will Be Done. And after Rella, I'll take more names. Good morning, Rella.
Good morning. This is Rella, slowly recovering compulsive overeater.
Where are you from?
So, can I be heard?
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm Rella from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, New York. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Resentments. It's a tricky path for me because I have both tendencies. I carry resentments and I resent deeply, but because I don't like to be uncomfortable very often, I forgive very quickly because I just don't want to, you know, I want to be done with it. And it's not always genuine. Like, it requires work. I think I want to avoid the pain. I discussed some of these things with my therapist who pointed it out to me. Like, so I have to send this take a little bit to sit with the loss and the pain that's behind the resentment of where I've been wronged. But this is the tricky part, not stay there, you know, and recognize that I have choices. And that ultimately it's going to come down to my choice. Most of the people that have, you know, that wronged me are not going to apologize. That's what I find. In just my experience, the good people in my life are the ones who apologize when they think they've made a mistake. I don't even think it was a mistake. But the people who are really hurtful are oblivious, and I don't think they will. So the work is on me. I'm going this weekend to my brother. He has a lovely wife and a lovely family of very cute children. but he has really been absent. I'm single. He has just rarely contacted me, rarely invites me, has little contact with my children. You know, he has access to the funds and he has not shared them in a way that I would have thought would be compassionate. So every time I go, I have to make the decision. Am I ready? Am I feeling spiritually fit that I can go and I will not eat over my resentments towards him? I often have to do, you know, the 10th step before I go into the house and stay really focused on my very, you know, my very sweet sister-in-law, who I consider a friend, and her children who love me as an aunt, and keep my visit fairly short. And just focus on having family. He's my only brother. So it's work. It's work. And every time I go, I agonize. You know, I think about it. And I do say the sick man's prayer. And I do have to recognize that he's spiritually ill. But I still feel resentful. So I think it's honest on my part to recognize resentment doesn't go away quickly, that being there and present and seeing his affluent lifestyle brings up feelings of resentment in me again. And how much I need to take care of myself in terms of my food, in terms of maybe making another visit to nearby neighbors, maybe even catching a meeting somewhere nearby. So I've got to protect myself in that way. So that's how I'm choosing to deal with it. Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Rilla R. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'm opening the line up for those who'd like to share on this paragraph, bottom of page 66. Who would like to share?
Mary C. Robbie.
I got Mary C.
Elaine.
Patricia P.
Adele R.
Patricia P.
Susan A.
Who asked for Patricia? Susan A.
Arlene B.
Arlene B. Christy, was that?
Yeah, Christy M.
Let's stop there. Okay, Arlene B. and Christy M. We'll stop there. We'll probably have time after this, but let's stop there for now. So I have Mary C., Patricia P., Susan A., Arlene B., and Christy M. And please tell us where you're calling from. Everyone else mute, and Mary C., you're up.
Hi, Mary C., compulsive overeater from Ohio. And how appropriate this is today. I've actually been saying the sick man prayer for 2 weeks now, and today was my last day of saying it this morning. And I think after saying it every day for 2 weeks, I realized that I was sick. I also realized what this person was truly going through, and I had no idea what truly they were going through. And my eyes are finally opened, and they didn't mean to hurt me, but they didn't have a choice to do but what they had to do. And with this, I guess I release my resentment for once and for all, and I feel free. And I am grateful to God that now I could really see the truth of what really happened. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Mary C. from Ohio. Up next, we have Patricia P., followed by Susan A. Good morning, Patricia.
This is Patricia P. of Michigan. I just recovered a compulsive overeater. That was one of my symptoms is grudges that I thought that I had for my mom for years, but like it says there, they must have been maybe sick, and yet farther down it says they were sick. I realize I was spiritually sick before I got a sponsor, so I just thank God for my sponsor, helped me to work the steps, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia P. from Michigan. Susan A., followed by Arlene B. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. My name is Susan A. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. And
hey.
I've been in program 19 years, and I have a really good forgetter. And recently, I had some resentment come up, and I didn't even realize it was a resentment. They were just little irritations. And then because I do my 10th step every day, I would put it down, question mark, is this a resentment? And then I realized it really is a resentment. And so I make my phone calls each day, and I shared this with someone doing a formal 10th step because, is this a resentment? And the person who I called didn't say whether it was or not, just said, you know what, the big book, page 552, may be a good place to read. And I did, and I was reminded to ask for this person, place, thing, or situation to get everything I want in life, and to do that for 2 weeks. So, you know, I make a little post-it note of exactly my resentment. I put it in my daily reader, and I make hash marks for each day that I read it. And I write out exactly what I want, and I pray that they get what I want. And I remember when I first learned this technique, this one aspect of the blueprint for living, I thought that it was foolish until I was desperate, because I'm the compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And I was desperate to be rid of the resentments. And history has shown me that when I do this, I get peace in my heart. I get a feeling of contentment. My mind is not consumed anymore with whatever person, place, thing, or situation that's irritating me. And I am so grateful for this and for this program and for all of you being there. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Susan A. from Philadelphia. Arlene B., followed by Christy M., and then we can take a few more. Good morning, Arlene.
Good morning. My name is Arlene B. from Los Angeles, California. And I'm glad to be on this line today. When this reading was done, as I'm listening to everybody, I'm realizing more and more that this is like the crux of my disease. I've heard so many things that I can relate to. And yes, I spent most of my life wanting people to just be quiet and doing whatever I need to do to make that happen, realizing that every time I was just swallowing a feeling, swallowing a resentment, swallowing whatever my feelings were. And I was going through it a little bit now with someone. And, you know, I just hate that somebody, it feels like sometimes that somebody can sort of put their hand in my gut and squeeze it. And it's like, I don't want to be this attached, you know. I and it's not even that somebody that's significant in my life, but it's like, I don't want this. And that, I'm not sure how to stop, you know. But I knew that I'm with a new sponsor now. Well, I have my second sponsor, and kind of, I call her my relapse sponsor. But she walked me a little bit through the 10th step. I don't remember exactly what she said, and I have to read more about it. But the different words, you know, that go in, that the fourth step, that go after the fourth step, was I this, was I that, that, according to her, they have kind of different meanings than what I was thinking, because I never really understood those words. And I actually look forward to doing the fourth step with her to be able to uncover all of that stuff. But, you know, it's funny how much I feel like I've swallowed throughout my lifetime. And here I am, a compulsive overeater. How ironic is that? So I'm just staying close to program, doing the things that she suggests that I do. And I'm going to remember to do some of the things that I've heard in some of the shares today as well. Resentment is a killer. It's a killer of my peace of mind. And somebody said something about spirituality that I loved. I don't quite remember it, but, you know, basically, if I can be in the center, you know, and just have things evolving around me and not be as affected by them as I feel, that would feel more like spirituality to me. Anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Arlene B. And before I take Christy M., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 66, the bottom of the page. This was our course reading through the top of page 67, ending with "Thy will be done," commenting on that one paragraph only. And after Christy, I will take some more names. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering, anorexic, and bulimic from Oregon. And this really is an important, I guess, paragraph for me. Every year in my recovery, I ask my higher power just to give me an area to really dig deep on. And like from the start of this year, the word forgiveness has really been forefront in my recovery. And, you know, my higher power right now is giving me a lot of opportunities to work on forgiveness in a situation where someone's really harmed my kids. And, you know, I think it's one thing when, you know, forgiving somebody for harming me, and it's another thing when I see someone hurting my kids. And that has really stretched, you know, my capacity to forgive and not resent. And that kind of spiritual practice of what does it mean to forgive somebody and not resent someone who's actively harming somebody I love. And I like that this is like this part of that spiritual journey. And I think one thing I've come to is like the first three steps is that, you know, I'm powerless. In some situations, when the hurt is so deep, you know, I'm powerless to forgive somebody. I'm powerless to not be resentful of my own will and my own willpower and volition. Like, I cannot forgive somebody. And so it requires a power greater than myself, like this act of forgiveness. And I think that was really powerful to me, just like, sometimes, like, the act of not being able to eat or compulsively overeat, it's beyond my willpower. It requires a power greater than myself. And I think coming to the end of myself and saying, like, this act of forgiveness is beyond my capacity as a human being. And, like, I have to give this to my higher power. I have to ask my higher power to give me something that I can't do on my own. And so just like any part of recovery, just like our food and our spiritual fitness, I find that it's like an act of daily work, of spiritual work, of continuing every day to turn it over to my higher power and trust my higher power. And then, you know, we talk about this being a program of promotion. And like when I can find that way to forgive and be compassionate, you know, like that releases everybody around me. Right? Because when we're focused on resentment towards somebody, sometimes that, like, people have to choose sides, or that tension, it affects other people around us. And like when I can let go, it releases other people too. And so, like, that's an act of kindness as well, to be modeling forgiveness and not holding on to resentment. You know, I've been working with my sponsor, and sometimes the first start is just admitting that I'm feeling resentful. And sometimes I have to admit that every day of, like, naming it, like, I'm really struggling with resentment right now. And just being able to say that out loud and tell somebody and be honest about it is like the first step. Thanks, I'll wrap up. And, you know, one thing that she said to me that was really powerful is, like, you want to be forgiven that all you've done in your disease. And, you know, with that, you have to be able to forgive too. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you wait till Monday. I could take about two more names. Nancy
Robin
G.
In Costa Rica.
Betsy G.
Okay, I heard Robin. Because I heard her the last time. Robin.
Betsy G.
Janie G. In Michigan.
Okay. Jamie, I'll see if I can fit you in there, okay? We'll see how long the shares are. Jamie G. We'll stop there. So I have Robin P., Betsy G., and Jamie, I think it was Jamie G. Okay, Robin.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, when I remember to pause and then let God take over and then work my steps, 10, 11, and 12, I have a chance of not reacting. And when I react and I go ahead of God, that's when then I get to make an amends, you know. And so, and then I get to remember, oh, my gosh, I did so many things in the disease. I was a low-bottom bulimic and compulsive overeater, very low-bottom bulimic. And, you know, I was also anorexic at one point. But I, you know, I did a lot of damage. And just remembering when I was in my disease, how I hurt people, how I didn't show up, how I hid, how I reneged on my commitments, and how it hurt people not showing up. And part of my recovery is showing up and being positively of service and visible and keeping my commitments to the best of my ability. And then I just get to remember, you know, wow, this person's sick. And getting to that, when I pause and let God come in, and then I do 10, 11, 12, I get to compassion. I get to that pity and that tolerance and patience that it talks about in this paragraph instead of, oh, my gosh, the self-righteous anger. And, you know, I can be right or I can be happy. And today, thank you, God, I choose to be happy. Thank you very much. I pass. God bless everybody with a really abstinent day. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Up next is Betsy G., followed by Jamie. I think it's G. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. My name is Betsy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict in Colorado. And this is my favorite part of this step. I can't do the fourth column unless I do this, say this prayer. And I've memorized it in the same way I've memorized the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer and the 11th step prayer, because this keeps me sane. When I watch the news, when I drive on the highway, all of it, this lets me see that I am one among many, and keeps me sane. It's a great tool for sponsoring as well. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Betsy G. Jamie G, I got time for you. Good morning, Jamie.
This is Jamie G, J-A-N-I-E, Jamie G in Michigan. This is such a good passage, and I've loved the shares. I was thinking about, you know, my sponsor added to the end for me because I had some issues with having a parent who was sick my whole life, but adding or a helpless baby, and that really did help me, that the same tolerance, pity, and patience I would cheerfully grant a sick friend or a helpless baby. And it's kind of like, you know, what I need to give to others, what I've asked for and received from God, the same forgiveness, the same kindness, the same love. And if I have received that, you know, then I can offer that. Instead, it's like the choices, what the disease wants me to do is demonize those who have wronged me and make the other person my enemy. And it's a way of keeping me isolated, disconnected in a victim state. And then I'm not responsible. I can just stay in that resentment. And that's the disease's plan for my life, to separate me from the herd. God's plan for me is to love God and love people, to be spiritually fit, to be of service to him. So this is the key. You know, those tents, you know, gotta keep working them, even though sometimes I resent having to do a 10th step on a resentment. But this helps me to live at cause rather than effect. And really, it's the opposite of the powerlessness that I feel over the disease, because I'm connected to God's power. when I align my will with His will. And I'm just so thankful for this program and, you know, and the help that comes through these steps and through working these on a daily basis, and for the fellowship we have with each other as we are walking this spiritual path. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie G. from Michigan. We do have time for one more 3-minute share. Somebody would like to take that.
Linda P.
Linda P. Okay, you got it, Linda.
Okay. Hi, my name is Linda, recovering compulsive overeater. Grateful to be on this call today, and thanks everybody for your service. I'd really like to share as well.
Where are you calling from, Linda?
I am calling from Los Angeles, California.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and let's see. There's so much in here. It's just asking me to think differently about people, you know, instead of looking at what they did to me, what are they going through? Just like when I'm going through a difficult time, like sometimes when I say to see them as sick, maybe sometimes just seeing them as having a life and having difficulties as well. When I have a really tough resentment that I'm really struggling with, that I've done a 10th step on and it's just still there. I do that prayer as well as what somebody also referenced from the big book, praying for their health, their happiness and prosperity, all the good things I wish for myself, I wish for them, and I put them God in your hands. Bless them and change me. And when I do that, or you know, they say do it for 14 days, the compassion comes. And when I have that change, when I can see that person as a person, you know, and have compassion for whatever they might be going through, you know, it gets lifted. And that's just so very helpful. I don't want to walk around with that kind of resentment. The very last part really struck me today. It says, when a person offended us, you know, we say, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Like this to me seems like it's said in the moment. It's almost like if I do this, maybe I don't get a resentment. Maybe I immediately have that change of mind. So I really want to start doing that in the moment. Just there's so much in here. It's like it's just so helpful because having that turnaround is what really frees me. Thank you.
And thank you, Linda P. Yeah, thank you very much. You'll be our last share for today. So thank you all for a great meeting, for all those wonderful shares, and all those of you who are on the line. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Jordan L. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Jordan Now, a recovered compulsive overeater, and grateful to be on a meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each man, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.